equal time. Another viewpoint, other considerations. Equal time.
Good afternoon, I'm Carl Ettenayer, today's host for Equal Time Radio, and as usual on Mondays, my theme is energy, food, and the local economy at the end of the age of oil. I've got a blog on a similar subject. It's called Relocalizing Vermont. I'm one of the many bloggers you can find at the vtcommons.org website. That's Vermont Commons website, vtcommons.org. My blog is called Relocalizing Vermont. We post audio of my show and Travin's shows here on Equal Time at equaltimeradio.com. I try to get mine up by the next afternoon after the show. Got a great show coming up for you today. In the first half hour, Jim Douglas has proposed cutting all but two of the state's meat inspectors. What will this do to plans to strengthen Vermont's agricultural economy? We'll be talking with Randy Quenneville from the Agency of Agriculture, Lainey Fondler from Lazy Lady Farm, Helm Noderman of the Snug Valley Farm, and finally Matt Choate. He's a senator on the Vermont Senate Agricultural Committee. In the second half hour, we'll be talking with Tom Stearns. He's the president of High Mowing Organic Seeds in Hardwick. And he'll talk about how the jump in demand for gardening seeds has affected them and also what they're seeing around the country. First, I want to give you an update on something I brought up last week and then a few calendar items. Last Monday, I sheepishly told you about how my plans to get to WDEV and back to East Montpelier without my private car went seriously awry. I changed my routine, which is usually I bicycle to Montpelier. Jack Donovan comes in, picks me up on his way into the station, so I ride with him, and then after the show, I take the bus back to Montpelier. There's my bicycle. I bike home. But last Monday, my wife was driving to Burlington, leaving a little later, closer to showtime, so I took a ride with her. Got to the studio here and remembered that I hadn't ridden my bike down to Montpelier, so I had no way to get back home after the bus took me to Montpelier. Well, how did that work out? Worked out well. I went to see Tune In Tomorrow, the documentary about WDEV at the Green Mountain Film Festival. And as we were sitting there in the theater, just as the lights went down, two neighbors of mine came in and sat down next to me. They'd carpooled together after the show was over. They took me to within half a mile of my house. Perfect. Today I'm back to riding with Jack. I biked down to Montpelier today, so I'm confident that I've got wheels waiting for me. Calendar items. A couple of things coming up today. All over the state, I have just half a dozen locations here, seven locations here in the WDEV listening area alone. Activists returned to the streets today across Vermont to stop the state budget cuts and support a people's plan for the state budget. And that's connected with our first item on cutting the meat inspectors. Rally locations will be in Burlington, Montpelier, Randolph, Middlebury, Johnson, St. Johnsbury, White River Junction. Most of these are at 5 o'clock. It was at noon in Middlebury today, so a little late for that. For more information about the rallies and the People's Plan, visit www.workerscenter.org. That'll give you the exact locations. I won't read them all off. And then tonight in the Montpelier area at the Montpelier Library, Kellogg Hubbard Library, at 6:30 is a special talk on lawn to garden conversion with Mark Krawczyk. Mark was on the show talking about converting a lawn to a garden last week. He's a permaculture teacher. He's going to talk about simple chemical-free strategies to eliminate lawn, build healthy soil, and establish beautiful, productive gardens. That's tonight, 6:30 p.m. at the Kellogg Hubbard Library. It goes until 8:30 p.m. That's free. And then another free event in Montpelier, also sponsored by Transition Town Montpelier, as this one was, is Feeding Our Community's Open Space Meeting. The open space framing question will be, what steps can we take in this next growing season and beyond to feed our neighbors and ourselves, to put up and store food for the winter and enrich the soil? There's going to be workshops or groups on backyard chickening, on building healthy soil, on converting lawns to gardens, and all sorts of other fascinating topics related to food. So that's this coming Saturday, April 4th. It starts at 11, goes to 4 p.m. There's a potluck lunch involved. Please bring some good food. And it's free, open to anyone who's interested, at the Unitarian Church in downtown Montpelier. Your phone calls, as always, are welcome in the show, 244-1777, or toll-free, 877-291-8255. Now, on to the subject of the first half of the show, meat inspectors. It's kind of a pun, but Jim Douglas has proposed gutting Vermont's meat inspector program in the Agency of Agriculture. And we'll be talking with Randy Quinville, chief of the Vermont Meat Inspection Program, a couple farmers, and State Senator Matt Choate of the Senate Agricultural Committee. First up is Randy Quinville. Randy, welcome to Equal Time.
Well, thank you. It's glad to be here.
Could you explain what Vermont meat inspectors do?
Well, the Vermont meat inspection program covers the whole gambit of slaughter and processing operations throughout Vermont. We have one state-inspected red meat plant, two state-inspected poultry plants, three state-inspected processing plants making things like hams, bacon, sausage, chicken pot pies, other various products. In addition to that, we are all the inspectors are trained to be able to provide federal inspection, and we as a program cover four of the seven federal slaughter plants in the state of Vermont at 100% reimbursement. In addition to that, we also cover 24 custom processing plants, about 1,400 retail stores, and 100 wholesale distributors.
When you say you cover four of the seven federal slaughterhouse plants in Vermont at 100% reimbursement, you mean that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is paying for these employees' time?
Yes, that's true. The federal government is really set up to cover plants that don't necessarily slaughter 5 days a week, so it works out better for everyone involved to basically pay us to cover those plants for them rather than them trying to hire someone and then not having someplace for them to go 2 or 3 days out of the week.
Why do we have a system where there are both federal and state inspectors?
Well, the state system basically is the go-between for small producers who want to get into the meat business but aren't quite yet large enough to go into USDA. USDA is required if you want to sell products across state lines. This year's Farm Bill, they actually put in a provision to be able to create a program that would allow state inspector product to be shipped across state lines as well. So some of the plants that had gone federal, either for their customers' needs or to expand their business outside of the state, will actually have another option rather than going at, with USDA if they prefer.
So the state-inspected facilities, though, if you get your meat slaughtered there, then it can be sold anywhere in Vermont but not outside of state lines at this moment.
That's correct. There are some exceptions to that rule, and some of the exotic animal inspection that we provide for, like elk and game birds and things like that, where some states require inspection but accept the Vermont inspection as the inspection for those products. So there are actually some voluntary inspection programs that have Vermont product going as far as California and our neighboring states, New Hampshire, as well.
But is that done on a case-by-case bilateral agreement with these states?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I take it that it's easier in some way, it's less expensive to set up a slaughterhouse so that it can be state-inspected?
Well, I guess the requirements are generally the same. I think the advantage of the state program is just a little bit closer contact with communications. If somebody in Vermont wants an answer to a question or is seeking information, they can call us here at the agency at 828-2426, and we can usually get them an answer either right away or within a day or two, where if people are inquiring, don't really have an idea what direction to go, and they want to call USDA, they have to call the district office over in Albany, New York, and wait to hear back from them. Part of that problem is that the USDA does the inspection for slaughter and processing, but they don't really do anything as far as retail or wholesale distribution or anything like that.
So there'd be whole areas of the meat industry in Vermont that would not be served if there weren't any state inspectors.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
we provide that middle economic growth sector with the information that they need to get into business.
And what is it that Jim Douglas has proposed for budget cuts?
Well, the proposal is basically to eliminate seven of the nine meat inspector positions, as well as, I think, two animal health positions and two dairy inspector positions. So,
does that include your position?
Yes, it would. The proposal would be to keep one meat inspection veterinarian and one inspector, thinking that they can keep a program going, but actually with just two people, you wouldn't be able to meet the equal two requirements that the state has to meet in order to exist as a meat inspection program.
And explain what equal two requirements are.
Well, equal two is just all of the things that USDA does for the inspected plants. If you want to have a state program, you have to meet and show the USDA that you are actually equal to enforcement of their rules. It wouldn't have to be exactly the same interpretation, but it has to show that you are at least equal to the same standards that have been set for meat slaughter and processing.
So you're saying that with only two inspectors involved, then you would not be able to do everything equal to the federal standards?
Yes, correct. I mean, as part of the equal two is you have to have a compliance program, you have to have an extensive sampling program, you have to have enough inspectors to provide for the plants that need the inspection.
And how much would be saved each year by cutting these seven positions, even assuming that the meat inspection program could go on?
Well, realistically, you know, the program is about a $950,000 program. That being said, the state's share of that cost is only $375,000. So that basically equates to less than the cost of a candy bar for each citizen of Vermont. The savings would not be the full $375,000, because if you kept the two positions, you take a big chunk of that out as well. Some of the other things, you know, if you didn't have enough inspectors, we would lose the cross-utilization contract, so none of those federal dollars would come back into the state as well. And then the cost to the farmers and producers would be extensive. Just the one red meat state inspected plant that we have services over about 115 individual farmers and producers, making it eligible for their products to be sold within the state.
If that plant
closes, I'm not sure where all those people will find slots in the existing slaughter system.
Right. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But just to help me understand how this affects the state budget, you have looks like around $600,000, almost $600,000 each year coming in from the federal government for
correct.
This. So by cutting those jobs, you'd lose that money. Is that correct? Okay. And have a savings of, if you have the two inspectors kept on, I'm just guessing around $250,000 or $300,000 each year.
Without the program of actual general fund cost.
Right. So lose $600,000 in federal contributions and gain around $250,000 to $300,000.
Correct.
And not pay any attention to whether services are continued at all, can be continued legally, and not pay any attention to the effect on the farmers. So that's not a real healthy effect on the state budget, I wouldn't think.
It doesn't seem to be a big savings to me, and the fact that the federal government won't do retail store inspections either, so that's another service that would be missing.
Right.
Or would have to be picked up somewhere, somehow.
Right. Okay, well, could you stay on the line for a minute? We're going to go to a couple farmers. First of all, let's hear from Lainey at Lazy Lady Farm. Hello, Lainey.
I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah, and I've always referred to you as Lainey at Lazy Lady and without having to try to pronounce your last name. Could you pronounce it for us, please?
Fondiller.
Fondiller. That wasn't so hard.
No. Okay. Hi, Randy.
So tell us how you work with state meat inspectors, Lainey.
Yeah, I use Bros Slaughterhouse. I live in Westfield. Bros is about 5 miles from here, Troy. So that's where my beef and pork end up.
Okay.
And that's the end of me. There was a plant in St. Johnsbury. He is no longer taking anybody. And to drive to, let's see.
Are you still there, Lainey? Oh, we just lost Lainey.
This is Randy now, back here.
Hi, Randy. Okay, having a little trouble with the phones.
Yeah.
She said hi to you.
Oh, thank you.
And she was just describing how she takes her meat to Bro's Slaughterhouse, which is 5 miles from her, and was saying that it would be the end of her if Bro's had to shut down. I was talking to Tony Bro this morning, and he was saying that he's only state inspected. He has no USDA inspection, and it would take him 6 to 8 months of work to get USDA inspection.
That seems to be the case, you know. Basically, you put in your application, then you wait to hear back from the feds, and then they set up an arrangement and then come and review your plans and your programs and stuff, and then they have to hire inspectors, make sure that they have proper training to be able to come and cover your plant as well. As I said, you know, we already cover a bunch of the plants for the feds, so their pool of inspectors without us here would actually even be more taxed.
I got back on. You're back here, lady.
Great.
Hi, lady.
So you were just saying that you know, there was a plant in St. Johnsbury that isn't there anymore. Is that correct?
It's there, but he is no longer taking on farmers.
Well, who's he taking on?
Well, he has his own beef business, and so he's just processing his own beef.
Okay, so he's vertically integrated there.
Yeah.
Got
yep,
it.
Yep. Yep.
Got it. So you don't know where you would take your pork and your beef to be slaughtered.
No.
Okay.
That'd be a long haul for me to travel that distance and then to go back and pick up the meat.
Right.
And then be able even to find a slot. These people are booked already. They're not going to be able to add on.
How much beef and pork do you...
I'm small. You know, I've 3 head of beef and maybe 4, 5, 6 pigs. That's how small, and I'm still going to be affected.
Right.
What about the larger people? You know, because I have a cheese business. This is a sideline.
Hmm. With 4, 5, 6 pigs, have you considered doing on-farm slaughter?
Well, I sell commercial.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All my sales are commercial.
Got it.
At the farmer's market. That's how I sell.
Right. Yep. Okay. We're going to go to the phones on the road. Is Paul. Hello, Paul.
Oh, I got a question for Randy. Just curious, Randy, if most of these inspector cuts are coming from the northern part of Vermont. Or is it statewide? And the reason I'm asking that is I know they want to put a big forest in up in northern Vermont called the Northern Forest. It doesn't seem like there's any room for farms when they put that forest in. So just wondering if these cuts aren't a precursor to something, and I'll hang up and let you hear the answer.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Paul.
The cuts are pretty much widespread throughout the meat inspection program. I don't think there was a lot of consideration as far as the location of the cuts. It was just the positions themselves.
Okay, thanks for that. And Lainey,
I'm baffled by. I never even heard his reasoning why. I mean, all I heard was he was attempting to do this, and I just have never heard what could have been going on in his head to want to try such a cut. I mean, these inspectors are there all day long, during the kill, all of the processing of the meat or the sausages, they are there all day long. I just can't even, has anybody heard why? Why would you do such a budget cut in such an area?
Yeah, Randy?
Any answer?
I haven't heard any specifics, just it was a proposal, and they were looking for, trying to do something with the budget, and this is what came out.
We'll get some information on that from State Senator Matt Choate in a little bit. Lainey, I want to ask you to drop off the line now so we can open it up for callers, and thanks so much for being on.
All right.
Okay,
bye.
Thanks. It's 244-1777 if you'd like to call in, or toll-free 877-291-8255. We do have another farmer on the line who asked to be on the show, and it's Helm Notterman from Hardwick, I believe. Hello, Helm. Snug Valley Farm in Hardwick. How would the state, losing the state inspectors affect you?
Well, we've been in the business for just about 20 years after we stopped milking cows. We use Bro's Slaughterhouse up in Troy. Now, if he were to close, what would I do? I mean, there's no way that it can be switched over seamlessly. So what would I do?
Excuse me, do you have your radio on, Helm?
Pardon?
Could you turn your radio down if you have it on?
No, it's not on.
It's not on. Okay, we're getting feedback from somewhere.
It's not on.
Okay, so you just like Lainey, you don't know what you would do, and how many beeves do you bring to the slaughterhouse each year?
We slaughter between 25 and 30 a year.
25 to 30, so considerably larger operation than Lazy Ladies, but still pretty small.
Our slaughter season is in summer, since we supply restaurants and also the farmers markets. It would be a disaster for me. It was hard enough to get out of milking a long time ago. I wouldn't know what to do now. It seems to me a very short-sighted move. I can't even fathom. Now, another thing, it's a little very personal. In order to be prepared for the summer season, we print all our labels in advance. Now, we also do pork. We do about 12 pork a year. So that would mean that I have to reprint all the labels with a new USDA number and emblem. I'm flabbergasted.
How much of an expense would that be, Helm?
Well, our labels cost about
$500
a year, thereabouts.
Yep, okay.
And, I know in the picture of hundreds of thousands of dollars, those $500 aren't a whole lot, but they're a lot to me.
You spread them over 25, 30 beeves. It's a fair amount per beef. Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. Also, where would we go? The governor always says he supports local business. At one time last year, there was a publication by the Department of, or Agency of Agriculture that implied that he invented local.
Yes.
Or he didn't.
Right.
And this last move is just, can I say absurd on radio?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. It's like the Flat Earth Society.
Randy Quenville, do you have any comments on that?
As I say, I think that the Vermont Meat Inspection Program does play an important role in the economic growth of farms and agriculture in the state of Vermont. And at a time when the local meat movement is picking up steam and farmers and producers are figuring out how they can meet the requirements to be able to satisfy that market, that tied in with the fact that, in this year's Farm Bill, they've actually are working on a mechanism to allow state-inspected product to be shipped across state lines. All of these things coming into play basically just reiterates to me how much of a value the inspection program is to the local farmers.
Okay, well, Randy Quenville, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. I was pleased to be there.
Okay, and
thanks.
Helm, do you want to stay on the line for a minute?
Yes, may I just thank Chris for his input. It was really, really good, and thank you.
Okay, and I should also add that we had Chuck Lacey talking about this issue, amongst others, on a couple weeks ago, and he said, I don't remember whether it was on the air or in our conversations before or after the show, but I don't think he'd mind me saying that he's found Randy Quenville in particular to be very helpful in setting up a commercial kitchen that's too small to want to get USDA certification right away, but needs some certification to be a commercial kitchen, and he didn't know what he would do to get that set up without the help of someone like Randy Quenville from the state. And now we're going to go to down to Dartmouth, I believe, to State Senator Matt Choate, where he's working in his other job. Hello, Matt Choate.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you, Carl?
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. And you're on the Senate Ag Committee, correct?
Yes, and thank you for having me today. Appreciate the call.
I'm glad to have your point of view on this. We got a question from Lainey Fondiller. What is going on here? What was anybody thinking in proposing these cuts? And you've heard testimony about this, I assume. What's the rationale that you've heard from the administration?
We've actually taken just a small amount of testimony on this thus far. We are going to take this issue up in the next week or so. We have looked at the Agency of Agriculture budget, and I have to say I agree completely with that question. What are we thinking with this proposal? This flies directly in the face of what we're hearing with the local voring movement, the priorities in our economic development around building infrastructures that will last longer than the money. So creating systems that contribute to our local agriculture, and part of that is food processing. We looked at the Food Venture Center in Hardwick as a great example of a long-term investment that makes sense to fund. And at a time when we're trying to grow that ag sector, It does not make sense at all to me or to anyone else. I feel like I can speak for our committee, as the five of us, that we would eliminate inspectors. They're critical to getting meat and local foods processed in Vermont and out to the tables.
Now, last
this is a very poor proposal from our perspective.
Now, last month, there was a joint meeting of your committee and the House Ag Committee, a public hearing.
Yes.
And there was almost 100 people who testified. Almost all of them were small farmers. I was there for the whole thing. The overwhelming message was, please, state, get out of our way with your regulations and just let us farm, bring our stuff to market. Mm-hmm. Is getting rid of inspectors consistent with that message? I mean, if the inspectors aren't there, then they can just go ahead and bring their stuff to market?
I think you can take that two ways. I think people don't want to be unnecessarily regulated in terms of small producers having to have, you know, the scale of facility that would be expected by a large producer or a large consumer operation. It is different enterprise. So in terms of that regulatory structure, I think we have some room to play with, and I think that's what people were getting at. I have heard overwhelmingly from farmers that, especially those that handle meat, poultry, and the dairy industry certainly, that inspection really is critical to ensuring the consumer that they're getting a high-quality product. Part of the sell for Vermont agriculture is the purity that comes with that. Mm. And, you know, we have our state inspectors. We would say that they're probably under-resourced for the job that they do. These are incredibly hardworking individuals that work in the Agency of Agriculture getting this work done, and we think they're probably under-resourced in order to do that work. They are much more customer-friendly to the farmer than we think USDA would be, if USDA is even interested in picking up the slack on this program.
Well, Randy,
the governor's proposal says if we eliminate the state inspectors, hopefully we can get the federal ones, but we're not entirely convinced that's going to happen.
Randy Quenville told me earlier, before we were on the show, that there are three vacancies in Vermont now for USDA inspectors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that means in terms of filling them. Of course, if the Vermont inspectors are all laid off, then you have some people who might potentially fill the USDA slots.
And it really puts the brakes on, you know, the work that we're doing trying to expand our local agriculture movement at a time when I really feel like some attention has been directed back to agriculture.
Right.
I just throw this out as an interesting fact. I sat down with the budget, the proposed budget as a whole, and just took note of the fact and brought this up in our committee on record that the Agency of Agriculture really only has a budget that's about just about 0.5% of all of our state spending.
Wow.
And that tells you where the priority has been. And, you know, not that necessarily dumping more money and more budget to something makes it better, but it does say something about where agriculture is landing when it's, you know, less than 0.5% of our total spending.
Right.
It's really, I care very deeply about local agriculture, and I am very concerned that this will have a huge negative impact on it. So we are looking very closely at this. We are trying to figure out, and I am sure we will find a way to keep those positions funded.
And we have one of your constituents on the line still, Helm Noderman of Snug Great. Valley Farm. Do you have any comments on what you just heard?
Well, I agree, absolutely. Here we are trying to develop a local, and here's our governor developing federal. I mean, again, if it weren't so sad, I would really be laughing. Also, I do have out-of-state customers who come up here and buy the meat. They Vermont carries a certain weight for them that is very different from a USDA. For one thing, we never had any peanuts inspected in Vermont. But anyway, And when we started our business 20 years ago, I got all the help I asked for, and I needed a lot to go from dairy to meat. And it was the meat inspection, the Vermont meat inspectors who helped me, who told me how to go about packaging, how to go about labeling, and so forth. And when I had a new product that became very popular, they helped me with a label. Because, you know, you can't just label stuff the way a restaurant might label it. You know, you can't call something a dream steak. You have to very specifically describe where that piece of meat came from.
Right. Well, we're about out of time. So Helm Noderman of Snug Valley Farm in Hardwick, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
And Matt Choate, is this a subject that you'd be interested in hearing from your constituents on?
Absolutely.
Okay. So
I was very pleased to be, this is my first term, as many people probably know, and I was very happy to be placed on two committees that I thought were right up my alley in terms of my agricultural background with my family's dairy farm that's been in our family 150 plus years. And with my healthcare experience, I'm on the agriculture and health committees, and I am always willing to hear from people about what's important to them. And you know, this one, Helm says it exactly, the Vermont name carries a lot of weight in the marketplace because we have high-quality products of all types, and yet we have got to make sure that we are supporting our local and statewide agricultural efforts at a time when the economy is down. This is a bright spot in it.
So if your state senator or your representative is on the agriculture committee especially, but even if not, give them a call. Give them a call. Let them know that you want to support local agriculture by keeping the meat inspectors here in Vermont. And you can call the governor at 828-3333 and say the same thing. Matt Choate, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Coming up next, we'll look at another aspect of local food in Vermont. High Mowing Organic Seeds sells seeds to gardeners and growers across Vermont and across the country, maybe even further afield. We'll be talking with Tom Stearns, the president of High Mowing Organic Seeds, right after this.